another fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. How precious is the flow. Amen. God bless you. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to have you here this Wednesday evening. Amen. Come together and just bond under one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to what he has for me tonight. Amen. Come expecting. So those joining us online as well, God bless you. It's good to have you with us. Let's sing. You're right in tune with what we want to sing. There is power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, oh, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, oh, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power, wonder-working power
in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, so much power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Oh, yes, there is power, power, wonder-working of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen, amen. Oh, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Yes, I'm leaning, oh, I'm leaning, for I'm safe and secure from all alarms. Oh, I'm leaning, oh, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on everlasting arms. Yes, I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarm. Yes, I'm leaning, oh, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread and what have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on everlasting arms. Yes, I'm leaning, leaning, for I'm safe and secure from all alarms. Oh, I'm leaning, yes, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And what have I to dread and what have I to fear? I'm leaning on everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on everlasting arms. Oh, I'm leaning, yes, I'm leaning, for I'm safe and secure from all alarms. Oh, I'm leaning, yes, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Aren't you glad? Let's just thank Him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have someone we can lean on to. Fill my way every day with love. And then we'll get ready to go to prayer.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. Oh, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with Your love. fulfill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love and keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roll. Lord, keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with your love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day. Sing that chorus again. Oh, fill my way every day with your love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with one last time. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, it's good to have Brother Keith here tonight. God bless you, Brother Keith. We've been praying for you this week. Amen. And I was thinking about you. As I was thinking about you, I was singing that song, "Every Promise in the Book is Mine." Amen. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Let's sing that as we get ready to go to prayer.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Do you believe that tonight? Every promise in the book, it is mine. Yes, every chapter, every verse, and every line. For I am trusting in His love divine. Oh, every promise in the book, it one last time. Yes, every promise in the book, it is mine. Yes, every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Amen. We're going to go to prayer. Just ask that you just bow your head. If you have a need on your heart, just raise your hand as we go to our Heavenly Father. I have no prayer requests here, but I know Brother Barry will have some. I wasn't able to meet with him before the service, so let's just be in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just bow our heads this evening. Just so thankful to be in service once again, Lord, just to just come to a place where we can just let the pressure off from the day, Lord. And Lord, just take time out just to worship You, to give You praise, to give You glory, to magnify Your name, Lord, for, You know, Lord, sometimes we're just so busy. Satan just throw things at us and just the cares of the day. We just don't take the time that we should, Lord, just to say thank You. Just a simple thanks, Lord, for Your grace, Your mercy. And Lord, You've allotted this time that we can come, Lord, with saints of like precious faith. Just be able to do that, Lord, just to raise our hands, raise our hearts, you know, sing the songs of praise, clap our hands, Lord, just in admiration to You, to honor You, Father, for all that You've done for us, Lord. And we're just a thankful people, Father God. And Lord, it's a great joy in my heart to see Brother Keith here in church tonight, Lord. Just what You've been doing for him, Lord, the answered prayers, Lord. I know this week it went out, pray for Brother Keith. He's going to the hospital, and we pray. And then moments later, we get a great report, Lord. And we're just so thankful that You've answered prayer so many times, Lord. And Lord, we're just believing for Brother Keith that You just continue to strengthen him, Lord. And the different needs amongst our assembly, Lord, I just ask that you would just go down to them, thinking of the Smiths, the drums, Lord, the different ones, Lord, that just aren't able to be here, Father God. I just ask, Lord, that you just be so close to them. Lord, just draw near unto them, Father God. And Lord, be sure to give you all the glory. Lord, have your way this evening. Take the service, take the songs, the specials. Lord, for your glory, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't you turn around, shake hands with one another as you're seated. Again, it's good to have you here. And those that may be just, again, just joining us this evening, God bless you. Amen. May you just feel his presence tonight. Sister Anna, why don't you sing your special? And then after that, I've asked Brother Johnny Reynolds, if he would sing for us. So if he'd be ready right after Sister Anna.
This song is in practice like it should be, so if you know it, sing it with me. Even though my spirit's low, seems like I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith, can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. And I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. Fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Sometimes our battles get hot, seems like we're fighting a lot, but I believe I'm standing on the rock. Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too, 'cause I believe you're bound to lose. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood.
Glad he can't cross that bloodline. Amen. Well, I text Brother Johnny today, and I said, Brother Johnny, do you think you could sing a special? Because I hear him singing behind me, and I know he can sing. So he said he'd try. So I appreciate a drafted soldier. It's on.
Thank you. try it again.
There we go.
Thank the Lord. Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave. Unworthy to hold to his hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. This love I cannot understand. Unworthy. Unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but he makes me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy. My sins caused that blood that was shed. My faults and my failures have woven a crown of thorns that he wore on his head. Unworthy. But he makes us worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made us his own.
An offering at this time. If you could play God Still Moves as we get ready to take up the offering. Brother Tom, would you pray?
God still moves. Yes, God still moves in the hearts of His people. God still moves. He does not does He slumber? God still moves. My God still moves. Oh, God still
We're thankful, Lord, that we have this promise that You said that wherever two or three would be gathered, there You would be in our midst, Lord. We are depending on You tonight. We are trusting in Your presence, Lord, to minister to those needs that we have identified tonight and the ones that are unspoken upon our hearts. Pray that You would meet with us and meet with those that are listening tonight, Lord, and pulling on the gift, pulling on the promise. We commit our every need to You tonight with confidence and without hesitation. We give our time, we give our hearts to You, Lord. We just pray that You would forgive us of anything at all tonight, Lord, that might hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit from vessel to vessel. But I pray You'd have free course among us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take your Bibles tonight. Let's go to 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We'll begin in verse 12. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate you all being here. Brother Manuel, you've lost your visitor status. It's good to have you with us, and we appreciate you being here tonight. Kingston, good to have you back. The men's meeting registration is open. So if you know people who want to get on board, tell them to get on board quickly, because we're going to run out of space here very, very soon. Brother Keith has done an outstanding job in helping to get things done, and we really appreciate that. Every now and then I put something in the update that is a mistake, just to see if anybody's actually reading the updates. Somebody's read it, and I need to make sure that we all understand. So the people who didn't read it now are wondering what I'm talking about. I can tell by your faces. Next Wednesday night, a week from tonight, we do not have service because we're going to redo the sound system. Okay, so a week from tonight, we will not have Wednesday night service. We'll just go from Sunday to Sunday. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and thine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. You may be seated. Good to have the Harwells back again as well. I'm going to jump right in tonight because we're going to take a little time devoted to prayer. We have some serious needs that we have represented among us here tonight, and we're going to lay hands on a couple of folks and just trust that the Lord will help us. And so keep that in your mind, keep it on your heart, that we're going to be aiming towards that tonight, and do everything you can to maintain this atmosphere. Do nothing to grieve it, okay? Because we need His help. If we could solve our own problems, our own emotional health problems, our own financial problems, if we could do it, we probably would. But there are times when we need Him. There are times when we have to draw from His strength and from the tree. And it's important for us to acknowledge that. I have a list of prayer requests that are here, and I'll bring you those in just a little bit. Sister Katie, it's good to have you back as well. Now, let's just talk about this subject of healing just for a short period of time. And we want to look at a couple of principles here that trusting will encourage you. In the message, Witnesses, Brother Branham prays, Father God, laying here before me is this baby's picture who was here swollen and malignant, and he didn't even look like a human being. But the touch of the Master's hand did the work. And will you please tonight, dear God, do the same thing tonight to every person in here. I believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I do believe that it's possible tonight. And we don't need to have Brother Branham here for God to heal. Right? We understand that. Now, in speaking of divine healing, we must approach it just as sanely as it is in the Scripture. Divine healing has been misunderstood by many. Some people think that divine healing is some sort of magic or hocus pocus over people and put some kind of spell on them to get them well, or hypnotism. That's an error. The Bible teaches divine healing for this present day, and divine healing all down through the age. So divine healing is not new, right? It's not new. It's something that has been contained in the act of Calvary. By His stripes we are healed, and yet it's misunderstood by many. And I will say this, that even since the time, this is Brother Branham in 1951, and even since the time Brother Branham's been here, there are even different ideas in the years past Brother Branham about divine healing. Some people believe that we needed to have Brother Branham in order to have divine healing or something supernatural take place. And that's just not true. But there are some people now have relegated all of that to Brother Branham's days on the earth, and God doesn't do that anymore. And that's not true. If God ever was a healer, He still is. I have news for you. Brother Branham was never the healer. I'm not the healer. You're not the healer. God has always been the healer. And if He's here, healing is still here. If He's here, deliverance is still here. If He's here, deliverance and all the other things that we have need of are all still available to us. And so therefore, it is for this present day as it has been down through the ages here. But this happened to be Brother Branham's gift. It was the thing that God used in His ministry to attract attention. And so therefore, in a sense, we saw it operate in a way we had never seen it operate through the ages. And it was because God used that particular ministry and that voice to be able to speak to the world a message that would conclude the message to the Gentiles and also bring rapturing faith to the people. Now, Brother Branham says, now, no man can take credit for healing, not even a doctor. There's no doctor can heal you. Doctors give you aid, operate, things that's necessary. But you've never heard a doctor say that he could heal you, because he can't. I said last week at Brother Jonathan's little dinner that we had, we definitely do need good Christian doctors and good Christian nurses in our time. Just like we need good Christian lawyers and we need good Christian accountants and all the other good Christian things that people do. We need that in our time. And I think if you have a Christian who is a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you're way ahead. And I appreciate Brother Jonathan and his labors and sacrifice, and have great respect for my own personal doctor. I talked to him today, and also for good doctors, and there are certainly many of them. I think they get a bad rap sometimes, lumped in with all the other things that go on, but you can obviously do the same thing with preachers as well. He said, now, he said, there's only one healer, and that's God. And then he quotes Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all of thy iniquities and healeth all of thy diseases." I've had some very rank criticism, and some people practicing divine healing don't believe in a doctor. You can have your ideas about it, but I believe in doctors. I believe God put them here on the earth, and they're his helpers, but there's none of them can heal you. They can set a bone, pull a tooth, but if they pull a tooth, who's going to heal the socket it came out of? If they set a bone, who can put it together? You look under x-rays and see if they got it right and set the bone, but who's going to heal you? It's going to be God, right? It's going to be God. And we are thankful for that. There are different types of healing. And we're not going to prolong this tonight, but you know that there are different types of healing. And one of the ways that God heals is to heal people's lands. If my people, which are called by my name, as we read in our text there, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There are times when the land goes through things it needs healing from. And it can be droughts. It can be different problems. I've stood at the graveside of people in Ireland who died in a potato famine, which, by the way, began in America and traveled to Europe and spread around Europe. But every European country was not dependent on the potato like the Irish people were. And so many of those people only ate potatoes. And so when the potato famine struck there, it only lasted 4 or 5 years, but it was such a devastation to their economy and to their population that it absolutely forced many, many people to leave Ireland, and many, many people died. We stood at one graveside. I was telling the girls this weekend. You wonder why I'd be telling the girls this weekend, but we did talk about it. There was one grave that we visited there, and there were about 35 people who were buried in that one particular grave plot. It all died in the famine. They needed healing for their land. God provided it. Psalm 41:4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Do you believe he's still a healer of the soul? Amen. Return ye backsliding children, Jeremiah 3:22, and I will heal your backsliding. I'm glad he's a healer of our backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. 2 Kings 2, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there. And this was Elisha. Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So God pronounced healing on the waters. Be not afraid. Brother Branham said, now there's something wrong with her. He said, more like a chronic case. Brother Branham's looking at a girl. And he said, there's something wrong with her, but it's more like a chronic case. I see her under an oxygen tent, has to breathe from an oxygen tent. He said, that's why I said chronic in this conversation here. It's an allergy, exactly right. And there's a man with you, it's your husband. And he's here now, and he's on your heart. Do you believe that God can tell me what's wrong with your husband? So now here's a woman standing there, and she's praying for somebody. And he said that her husband was there also. And there's something wrong with his eyes. He's also got a blood condition that's caused by a complication. That's thus saith the Lord. Just stand there a minute. He said, you're a fine person. You're a Christian. Yes, I hear something rattling. It's an oxygen tent. And yes, he said, and a man, your husband, he wanted to come up here, but you only had one prayer card. And you didn't know which one would take it, you or him, so you come up by yourself. But now he's going to be healed too, both of you. That just happened in the last few minutes. God is gracious, isn't he? They're both suffering from conditions here. And Brother Bram describes them perfectly, but they both receive their healing. Now, I think this is an important thing. Proverbs 18:4, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? A wounded spirit's a tough thing. It starts off, like I've described before, like a splinter, which doesn't really do a great deal of damage at the beginning, but leave it alone, and it'll become a problem. And if you leave it alone long enough, it'll become something that needs intervention. And a wounded spirit, there's a lot actually in Scripture that's said about it, and sometimes it can come by criticism, sometimes it can come by off-color humor, Sometimes it can come by something that's said in a service. Sometimes it can come, by a direct attack. There are different ways that a person's spirit can be wounded. And we had to be very careful sometimes about the words that we use because people are affected by that. In Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I'm glad he's a healer of the broken heart. No matter what it is that you go through, God can heal a broken heart. Whether it's through loss, whether it's through separation, whether it's through, maybe a catastrophe at home, or maybe it's something that happens at a church or whatever else. There are things that happen in life that can really break our heart. And Jesus said, I'm here to do that. With all the other things that I am to do, he said, I am here to heal the broken heart. And I believe that God still does that. And I think he's very sensitive to that. The angel of God, 1951, while the evening was set, they brought many to him and he healed them by the power of his word. And Father, I pray you brush back every scar tonight and heal every broken heart. And may the power of God once more burn in a living faith through every heart. Grant it, Lord, that your great name may be glorified. How many are glad he's still a healer tonight? Now stay with me. In Luke chapter 8, we see this again. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed. So we have a person now who's sick with the same condition for 12 years. On the bottom there, I've got the definition of chronic. Very simple definition. I realize I'm in the presence of people who know much better than I do. But a chronic condition is an illness that persists for a long time or constantly recurs. Now, many times we say, and we saw in Brother Bram's ministry, we saw instant healing of conditions that people had. They might have had cancer. They might have had a heart condition. And so he prayed for them, and there they are. But can God deal with chronic conditions, situations that are like this woman had a blood issue for 12 years. And she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter said, and they that were with him, said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Yes, but somebody touched me in a certain way, and virtue flowed out of me." And so therefore, I want to find out who that person was, because God just did something for that person. And this is a person with a chronic condition. John 5, an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, had an infirmity. How long? 38 years. 38 years. That's what we call a chronic condition, right? Because it recurs, it lasts, or it comes back every so often. And he's been sick in that way 38 years. And now God visits him, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been there a long time in that case. He saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you believe that God can heal a chronic case? Amen. You might have suffered with depression. You might have suffered with anxiety. You might suffer with nerves. You might suffer with whatever you call it, and it might be there a long time. As a matter of fact, you may not even know a time in your life when you didn't have it. But I'm here tonight to tell you that God is a healer of chronic conditions. Watch what Brother Bram says in the message called Moses. Divine healing died here a few years ago. During that time, he said, cancer broke out. Now, what he's referring to is the fact that there was a lot of preachers who stopped preaching divine healing. It became, in a sense, out of fashion. It became, not something that was popular. So people stopped preaching it. During that time, cancer broke out, sickness in the church. 80% of the people are sick now. This is 1950 now. Medical science, I salute them. They do great things, building infirmities for the incurable. And he said, and there was never nothing that ever came before our Master Jesus but what he was more than a match for it. And no incurables to him. When I found that quote, as a matter of fact, I heard Brother Tim Dodd quote that quote first time. And when I heard that, I wrote that down. And I've held on to that because, there are times when people say, well, the doctor told me I have this, this chronic condition, and I'll have medicine for this for the rest of my life. And even, I won't do it. But watch what he says. And there never was nothing that ever came before our Master Jesus but what he was more than a match for it, and no incurables to him, all things are possible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have a question for you. Then would that mean he's the same tonight as he was back then? Would it mean also he's the same tonight as when Brother Branham made that statement? And if there are no incurables to him back there, there are no incurables to him now. Luke 7, and in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Mark 3, for he healed many, and so much that they pressed upon him to touch him, as many as had plagues. A plague is like a whip or a scourge, metaphorically. It's a calamity or a misfortune sent by God to discipline or punish. There are things that God will use to get your attention. There are things that God will use to bring you back to be persuaded by the gospel more than what you were before. I mentioned that last Wednesday night. There are things that, come in your life, a catastrophe or a disaster or a breakup or something that'll happen in your life. And it's meant to get your antennas up where they should be. It's meant to make you more sensitive to God. Anybody ever go through something like that? I will tell you what, you get somebody, like you get a child who's sick in your house, you'll begin to pray, not like you normally pray, but you'll begin to pray differently. When you have a situation where you got a job loss, if a man has a job loss, let me tell you, he'll begin to pray and he'll begin to get sensitive to God real quick, because circumstances will drive us to that. And so therefore, there are things that happen to us that we didn't choose, neither did we cause, but they happen, and sometimes they're there to discipline or to pull us back, and then there are other times they're there to punish us and make something right, make us go back and do something that we've been hesitant to do. But either way, God can use all of these things, but he uses them all for the good to them that love him, them that are the called according to his purpose. I'm going fast, and I realize I'm skipping over some really important points here. But I want you to take a look here. God has different ways to heal. I love this, because we're not confined to just doctors. We're not confined just to surgery. We're not confined just to chiropractors, right? We're not confined to just one way. Brother Branham said there's nothing like music. God heals by music. God heals by love. God heals by medicine. God heals by prayer. God has many ways of healing, and it depends on the type that you need. Only an all-knowing God could make a situation like this, that God looking at the patient, and he knows exactly what you have need of. Sometimes you just need an arm put around you. Sometimes you just need a good song. Sometimes you need, the right kind of medicine. Sometimes you just need somebody to listen to you. And there are lots of different things that you need, and God has something for the need that you have. Otherwise, he's not God. And so we're thankful for that. Are you still with me? Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. He stood there, and he preached, and he taught the people, and many were healed. All manner of diseases among the people, all manner. So whatever they had, they came. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. They were natural diseases. They were physical diseases. They were emotional diseases. They were probably, different chronic cases and so forth. But this is a people now that had never seen a healer like this probably in their lifetime, had never seen anything quite like this. We don't know of one instance where John laid his hands on somebody and they were healed. We don't know of any instance where anybody prior to John coming had a ministry of healing. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. You can imagine how the word must have spread through that part of the world. And people came and they were interested in, even if they were afar off, they were interested because they were not sure about all of this. They'd never seen anything like that. And having the needs that they have, but hearing what he had to say, something in them comes alive, and they come and reach out to him and maybe touch him as he passes by, and these people were healed. You can imagine how the word must have spread in the communities and in the little towns and so forth. But all it says that he did, he taught in their synagogues and preached the gospel of the kingdom, because there's something that follows the preaching of truth. There's something that follows the preaching of truth. I'm persuaded to believe that we're not sincere about this thing. If your whole, and he's talking about healing, and if your whole motive rests upon giving God praise for my healing, if your whole heart is set on this, I am determined to be healed by the power of God, determined to live a Christian life and to walk in peace with God. I don't care what mother says. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what the pastor says. I don't care what the world says. That's the singleness of my heart. You're going to get somewhere then. You know what? I think we're probably all negligent about that because we're quick to put our prayer requests on the altar, but we're not always so quick to testify of God answering those prayers. How many of you can honestly say that God did something in terms of intervention for you for some sort of a need that you had? Come on, be honest. You know, maybe you asked God for something and he did it. And I wouldn't ask, but I wonder sometimes how vocal we are about, I mean, we're quick to tell people, yeah, I got it in my back. I, you know, I got it, got this, and I got that, and my doctor gave me this and something else. But, you know, when God does something, very often we'll just kind of roll on. And, hey, we're all guilty of doing that. But what Brother Branham's telling us there is that there should be a corresponding response in our life from our own lips that says, Lord, this, I know this came from you, and I want to thank you for that. And I don't care what anybody says. You're a healer today, same as you ever were. And when you get an opportunity to do that, and there's nothing wrong with having sustained, consistent interaction with people around you at your work or at your school or wherever it is that you spend most of your time, your marketplace. Everybody has a marketplace, right? Everybody has a place they go a lot or they pass through a lot. And then wherever your marketplace is, it doesn't hurt for you to have sustained, consistent interaction with the people around you, especially those that don't believe, to let them know what side you're on and to let them know what your God is capable of. I think it's a good thing for us to do that. Because if you don't, who will? Now, there's just so many here. Matthew chapter 10, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So this is not confined to just Jesus alone, but he gave this power, he gave this commission to those that surrounded him. Luke chapter 9, chapter 1 and 2. And the Bible tells us, right, in the end of the Gospels there, it tells us to go into all the world and pray, right? Heal the sick, lay hands on them and heal the sick. That's what it tells us to do. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for every promise in the book. We thank Thee because Thou hast brought down the Holy Spirit. Bless the doctors of this city. Bless all the nurses, the institutions. If Brother Branham was against divine healing or against doctors and hospitals, he wouldn't be doing this. Bless all the nurses and the institutions. God, let the people know that I'm here trying to help poor, suffering humanity. I'm not here for any other cause but to try to help those sick, dying people. So it was the gift and the benefit was not just for Brother Branham, and neither did he keep it to himself. He's praying for those that are involved in the intervention and good healing of people out there. He's praying for doctors and nurses. He's praying for other ministers that they would go forth and have success in their ministries. Be not afraid, it is I. There's only one healer, and that's God. And now we have doctors and medical institutions and scientists to research in medicine, and which we are grateful. As Christian people, we should not let a day pass without praying for the help of those men who are trying to research to find something to relieve the suffering. You want to know what you should pray for every day? Number one is your pastor. Number two, you pray for those people that are in research trying to find cures for diseases out there. Because there are diseases coming that we would not have a clue what to do with. And there are things that now affect people that we don't have any real solutions for. Alzheimer's being one of them. That's just as an example here. And they're making strides and they're discovering and they're researching and so forth. But I will tell you this. I've seen a lot of things in my time, but I've never seen anything like Alzheimer's. I've never seen anything like dementia. And it's just an incredible thing. And if I could do anything to help facilitate healing or relief for somebody who has experienced that sickness, I'll tell you what, I certainly would. I think it's a real Christian act for men and women to pray for men to find something to help us. all right, how far do we want to go with this? Because if it was you sick, you'd want anything that could help you. Well, then when a person gets to a place that the doctor can do no more for you, I think we have a right to call on God who believe God, we who believe God. I was speaking with Brother Russell Wallace, who is a friend of ours, and he has a very aggressive form of cancer. And he said, I'm not afraid to go. He says, I know I'm right with God. And he says, I believe I have an assurance about where I'll go. But he said, I want to live. He said, I want to live to see my grandchildren get married. And I want to live, he said, to see what else God has in store for our family. And you know, he's just being really honest. And I felt like in my heart, I'd do whatever I could to help Russell and whatever way I possibly could. All right, now watch out, Brother Brandon. Watch what comes next here. Smallpox vaccine. You would want to be praying for sure that we never, ever come to firsthand knowledge of what smallpox actually is. You don't want to go there. The first successful vaccine to be developed was introduced by Edward Jenner in 1798. And he followed up his observation that milkmaids who had previously caught cowpox did not later catch smallpox by showing that inoculated cowpox protected against inoculated smallpox. And he made a discovery. And when smallpox came through in the community, Jenner noticed that the milkmaids who were milking the cows never got the disease in the same way that the people who did not perform the milking in their communities. And began to make some deductions about that and experimentation and eventually developed the smallpox vaccine. I have a friend who I grew up with who was involved in helping one of these discoveries here and for polio and also for not the discovery of it, but the implementation of it in third world countries. And it's just incredible the amount of things that they have to deal with in other nations, third world countries where people have maybe religious beliefs and this is contrary to their belief to get a vaccine. And, you know, as a result of that, there can be a whole community of people who are not vaccinated because of religious reasons or whatever else. And then when the disease comes, it just passes right through that community and kills off a lot of the population. Part of it is education. Part of it is science and so forth. But these are diseases that are, there's a vaccine for it. And it's created for the good of the people who receive it. There's a lot I could say about this, but let's just focus here for a minute. The earliest physical evidence of it for smallpox is the rash on the mummified body of Pharaoh Ramses V of Egypt, and the disease killed an estimated 400,000 Europeans annually during the closing years of the 18th century, including 5 reigning monarchs, and was responsible for a third of all blindness in the world. Of all those infected, 20 to 60% and over 80% of infected children died from the disease. And smallpox was responsible for an estimated 300 to 500 million deaths during the 20th century. Unbelievable. Now, Brother Branham says, you know, there was a time when there wasn't any toxin on the earth for smallpox, diphtheria. But now you can get inoculated from it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad we got it. Salk vaccine. And Salk was the name of the man who discovered the vaccine for little children, for polio. I thank the Lord for that. Pray that he will give us more and more. You know, it's a... pray that he will give us more and more. I believe if we just warm up to God, there's things here for us. We was made out of the earth. If we just warm up to him, to pray to him, and quit our wickedness and things, all these things would be found. That's right. But for you who believe, he's got a remedy beyond that. Certainly he has. Now it's all made and ready for you. Divine healing is already made and ready for you. Do you believe that? But you know, there's a reason why, and especially in this case right here, when Saul first discovered the vaccine for polio. And I know some people in this church here have been affected by polio in a great way, and in our message community here. But you know, when Saul and Saban found what they did and discovered what they did, and it was mass produced and you know, helped lots of people. Brother Branham said that was a result of parents crying out to God. He said it was a result of parents reaching out to God and saying, Lord, send us something that would alleviate this horrible disease. And as a result then, Salk and then Saban, who found the first attenuated vaccine, which is live vaccine but weakened, that's how he did it. And Salk did a artificial vaccine here, but it was mass distributed and there was lots and lots of people who were prevented from having polio. I know what it's like for somebody to have polio and to suffer in that way. And he said that this was the result of parents praying and calling out to God. My, you got to wonder, is there enough people left in America to call out to God for a solution for cancer? Well, Brother Branham said it's here. He said, if we warm up to God, you'd be surprised what God would allow to come. Are we okay? And seeing in medical books, I mean, hey, listen, folks, this is a prophet here. This is a prophet who came to our time, and he's warning us about things, telling us about things. And he's also giving us an insight into the mind of God. God's got solutions. God's got answers to many of the problems that we go through. And a lot of times it depends on our attitude, and a lot of times it depends on how we come to God. And people say, well, you know, I've got medicine and so forth. I will tell you this, that the vast majority of things that are used and discovered are things that God allowed to be discovered as a result of people's prayers. And seeing in medical books that I even have it in my home to read, I'm interested in medicine and anything that will help God's people and help human beings. I'm interested in anything that will help God's people and help human beings. If it's studying peace terms, I'm interested. I'm interested in a better community to live in. How many of you would be interested in a better community to live in? I'm interested in better schools for our children to go to. Get an amen for that? Even homeschools. I'm interested in anything that's good, wholesome and right. Because that's what Christians should be interested in. And medicine has done some great things. I believe if we were more sincere and consecrated to God, they'd already have stuff for cancer and everything else. God's got the thing if we just ask Him about it. And I believe the reason Salk vaccine was just because of the little children suffering the way it is and Satan, that evil thing out there, paralyzing those little children. And God just let that be discovered for the inoculation and has done a great thing to which we are grateful to Almighty God for it. When I was in grade 2, we had a girl who was in the class who had polio. And I still can see her getting around. There's several other believers that I know that suffered with it and suffered partially with it. But here's Brother Branham going on. He says, now nervousness is a horrible thing and it keeps you all torn up all the time because you was born nervous. Divine healing doesn't just apply to physical organic diseases, right? It applies to everything that is an ailment to a human being. Anything that hinders your progress, anything that steals your functionality would be something that would fall into the place where somebody could be prayed for. And whether it's, you know, whether it's nervousness or whether it's diabetes or no matter what it is, I believe that God is interested in touching that person and helping them to be well. Brother Branham said, all your life you've been nervous, and I've seen you as a schoolgirl, nervous. Nothing can help it. Everybody says, I'll get next to yourself, but I don't do no good. Can't help it, sister. There's something that frightens you, but Jesus Christ is here to take it from you. God, as I lay my hands on this young lady here just in the prime of life, I curse this affliction on her body. And she wants to serve you, Lord, and serve you in freedom. And I take it away from her in the name of Jesus Christ. May it go and never return again for God's glory. So he prays for this girl, but then he stops her and he says, now don't fear, young lady. Will you do as I tell you now? You'd feel all right at this time because it's gone. But when you come up here, there was a dark shadow around you. It's gone now. It scared you. You can't help it. It comes to you. But the unclean spirit's gone from you, and he walks in dry places. He'll try to return again. Take my word as a prophet. Don't you never have a frown on your face. Sing all day long and praise God no matter how you feel or what takes place. This is not rocket science. But he says that demon will try to come back. He'll try to re-inhabit that vessel again. So he says your best defense is to sing all day long and praise God all day long. No matter how you feel or what takes place, you just go ahead and do that. And he says you have a protection that's afforded by the confession of your mouth. He says it'll leave you and won't come no more. Now go do that. You believe that with all your heart? That's a killer. Kills more people than anything else. But Christ is a Savior. And they that walk upright before God, he said he'd withhold no good thing from them. Letting off the pressure. God's place of safety. He said when we're in here, we have a right to the healing power of God. I'm almost finished, so stay with me here. We have a right, when we're in here, we have a right to the healing power of God. When you're in God's place of safety, when you're under that token, he said there's a right to the healing power of God. There's healing power. So when Christians get sick, there's no need of being all steamed up about it. Just remember, by his stripes we are healed. Now, nowhere does Brother Branham say, you go tell God what God's going to do. There's nowhere that says you go tell God what he's going to do, because that's not our job. But we have a right to petition God for whatever we have need of, because he tells us to cast our cares upon him, right? Sometimes God will heal supernaturally. Sometimes God will lead you to the right doctor. Sometimes God will help you discover what it is that you have need of, and it may not be what you're thinking. But God's a healer. He's a healer in a multiple number of ways. But your job is not to tell God what he's going to do. Your job is to present that need to God in faith and believe that God's going to help you in one way or another and just trust him for the outcome. And he said, hey, when something strikes, there's no need to be all steamed up about it. Just remember, by his stripes we are healed. And he promised it, so he just can't take it back. He promised it, so he just can't take it back. He can't take the promise back. It's a place of refuge for our sickness, for our worries. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. It's a refuge. Trust in his word and his promises. And every promise that he made belongs to you as long as you're in his kingdom. Do you believe that? His word is a refuge. His promises are true. And trust in his word. Every promise that he made belongs to you as long as you're in the kingdom. Psalm 84, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. I received a testimony today, and I wanted to share it with you. This is a friend of mine. He lives in Hungary. And he wrote to me this testimony. Just a wonderful young minister doing everything he can for the kingdom in that country. That country is racked by problems because the original pastor in that country committed adultery and was living in adultery all the time. He was trying to establish a church over there, and the church wasn't growing, and the people were leaving and walking away. And this young man kind of inherited that church and is beginning to build it one little brick at a time and trying to rebuild and restore things. Very sincere young man. I just love him to death. And he sent me this testimony today. I want to share with you a testimony for the glory of the Lord Jesus. It started 3 years ago, and we have a daughter and wanted to have another child. He said, 3 years have passed, and the Lord has led us through many trials and things, but by all this, he was forming us and constantly drawing us closer to himself. It was not easy for my wife especially. And slowly, we shared our desires with believers and asked them to pray for us. Stop. It's an odd thing, but in many other countries, when somebody has a disability or a problem like this, especially something that's not explainable, there are many people that look at those people and say, oh, there must be something wrong with you. I mean, there must be something weird going on here. And so people in those parts of the world very often are reluctant to put their prayer requests out. It's not everywhere, but they're reluctant to put the prayer requests out because they feel like people will, you know, look down on them. There must be secret sin, or there must be some problem in their lives or something else. And so he says, slowly we shared our desire with believers and asked them to pray for us. I had somebody recently, another good friend of mine whose wife had cancer, and he said, we did not put the need out there. We didn't ask for prayer because the last time we did that, people mocked us. And I thought, you don't need to worry about telling me that. I said, I believe that we should pray one for another. But it's a shame that that happens. Slowly, he said, we shared our desire with believers and asked them to pray. And after some time, my wife went to the doctor and they told her that she had multiple cysts on her ovaries. And because of that, it's impossible to get pregnant. We kept believing and confessed her healing, and the Lord kept drawing us closer to himself, and our faith became stronger and stronger. My wife had many personal experiences with the Lord in connection with her healing, and the Lord just did a miracle in our life because we were expecting our second child. He said we could testify to the doctor, and she agreed. It was a miracle. We are very thankful to God for what he has done in our life. And we are thankful for everyone who prayed for us. Satan still tries us sometimes in connection with it, but the Lord gave us the victory. How many believe the Lord is our healer? Now let me give you some prayer requests. And I'd like to have prayer tonight for these needs. I have two unspoken prayer requests that are related to marriages. And these marriages are not in this assembly. But there are two concerns that have been shared with me. Sister Shirley Lingle, in the back here, she has a granddaughter named Haley, right? And Haley has two blood clots in one lung. How old is she, Sister Shirley? 20 years old. She's on a blood thinner. Because that's important when somebody has a blood clot. Sister Angie's brother, Sister Angie and Brother Mike are in Michigan at the moment, and her brother has a really serious form of cancer, and so we want to pray for him. Sister Shirley Buchanan is here tonight. We want to pray for Christy Williams, who's back in the hospital. We also want to pray for Karen Buchanan, who fell and has still not been x-rayed. 2 weeks have passed by and they still have not x-rayed her. We want to remember Sister Karen. And we also want to remember Sister Amber McCall, who has a broken bone in her foot and she's not able to drive. So she's at home tonight. We want to remember Sister Carrie Whitlock. We prayed for Sister Carrie before, but we need to remember her because her situation is serious. And she has a real problem with vertigo and dizziness and everything that's associated with it. Many times the only thing she can do is sit in a chair and be absolutely still, sometimes in the total dark. And her situation is serious, and I would ask you to remember her in prayer tonight. We have Brother Shem, who's back here with us tonight. You remember we put out the word for him because of the infection that he had with the problem with his hearing, and he got some of it back, and now he's finding that the hearing is almost gone in that left ear. Is that right, Brother Shem? In his left ear. And so we want to pray that the Lord will undertake for him. And the doctors are mystified. They are wringing their hands. They don't know what it is that's actually causing that. And so they're really just putting their hands up and we're taking it from their hands and we're putting it in the hands of God. Also, Jedediah is not here tonight. He has a cold flu thing going on, and so we want to remember him. Sister Rachel Pritchard is not here tonight, right? And Sister Rachel Pritchard has not been here often in church since the hurricane because she injured her back in the hurricane. During that time and all the lifting and working and everything that was going on during that time. When she recently did an MRI, they found that the shaft in which her spine is contained was not fully formed and as a result has now created compression and is causing pressure on her spinal cord. She has some disc issues there, at least 4, maybe 5 of her discs. And it's extremely painful for her, especially to sit and drive, which is quite normal when you have a situation like that. so she can lay down and get some partial rest or stand up, and it doesn't hurt her. But there's not much else that she can do in between. I talked to her at length this week, and I just would ask you to remember her in prayer. She was going to come tonight, and we were going to anoint her with oil and pray for her because she has to go to a specialist, but she was not able to make it. And so we want to remember her in prayer as well. Sister Judy Arnold from Indiana, I mentioned it in the update today. She had eye surgery on one eye, and she has another one August 5th, and we sure want to remember her. Rachel Coffey is not here tonight, and she has some problems with her jaw and formation of bones in her jaw, and she's undergoing therapy. She does it on Wednesday, and we want to remember her in prayer that the Lord will give her strength and give her complete healing over that condition. We also have Brother Samuel Pugh here tonight. And Brother Samuel had an operation about 5 years ago on his spine, and healing was not complete during that time. And so now Brother Samuel suffers a lot from nerve issues, nerve damage, and very often tingling or no sensation in your right side. And I can tell you that that is pretty rough to go through. He has to see a specialist on Friday, and that specialist is going to look at Brother Samuel and look at his case. One of the remedies is surgery. Surgery will put him out a couple of months in terms of recovery, and we're going to pray that the Lord intervenes. Because Brother Samuel wants to work and provide for his family, it's going to be a bit of a squeeze if he's not able to. And so, Brother Samuel, we're going to be praying for you tonight and just trust that the Lord will undertake for you. Now, Sister Sarah is here tonight, and we prayed for Emron a couple of weeks ago. And Emron took some dairy products a little while ago and broke out in hives and had a pretty smart reaction to the dairy. She went to a doctor, an allergist, and she is allergic to dairy and to nuts and couple of other things, so much so that we need to be careful about what we give Emron. So if you're at a church dinner or a function, we want to be careful about what we give to Emron. It'd be best to clear it with her parents first. But Sister Sarah and Yeshua, they asked me to pray again that we would undertake for Emron. Sometimes children grow out of these allergic conditions, and we're trusting that that will take place. And we also know a healer who also knows the concerns that Sarah and Yeshua have. And so we want to pray that the Lord will undertake for little Emron and just trust that the Lord will undertake for her. These are not all the prayer requests, but these are the ones that I wanted to bring you. I can tell you that we have some people in our church, and I've been telling you for a while that God has been moving, God's been dealing with hearts, and I can tell you that God is directly affecting people we know in this church and who were a part of this church years ago, and God's dealing with their hearts, and there is a real spiritual warfare that's ongoing, and the devil is working overtime to try to prevent those people from stepping into the light, stepping back into the presence of God and getting their lives right. I'm thankful for what God is doing. We're going to be baptizing again this Sunday coming. And I'm very thankful for what God's doing in the hearts of our young people. But I will tell you what, Satan doesn't like it. And he's railing against us in lots of different ways, and ways you may not physically see. But I can tell you that the devil doesn't like what we're talking about and what we're doing. And that's his job, to make our lives as miserable as possible, try to discourage and distract everyone that he possibly can. But I'm here tonight to tell you that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I know that God has a plan for his bride, but this is not going to be a picnic all the way through to the very end. This is going to be a struggle. And even though we know our footsteps mean possession, we're going to have to fight for every inch of ground that we get. And I'll tell you this, I'm not afraid of what the future holds. I believe that he is more than able to see us through. And so I would like us to stand together and pray. And if your name was not mentioned tonight, if your concern wasn't voiced out here, I want you to hold that prayer before God. Aaron, I'm going to ask you to come on up and lead us in prayer. first of all, and then Samuel, we're going to have you come and we're going to anoint you with oil tonight and pray for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You can stay right where you are. That's fine. You stay right where you are. And if anybody else would like to be prayed for tonight, they're certainly welcome to do that. Sean, let's crank this one here. And let's have our sister Anna, if you'd come on up here and just give us a little background on the piano, that would be great. And I would encourage you tonight that whatever, we've had multiple instances here where we have evidence that God is still a healer tonight, the same as he always was. And the problem you face and the thing that you're going through is not too difficult for God. Whether it's an anxiety, whether it's a depression, whether it's a physical sickness, whether it's something the doctor's telling you and wondering about, let me tell you, there's nothing that's too great for God. And so we're going to believe that and trust that with all of our heart. And don't underestimate God's ability to come and do things that sometimes we think, well, God doesn't do that anymore. I just can't find that in the Bible. I just can't find that in the message at all. But he's still a healer the same as he always was. And anytime I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Singing now together. I cast all my cares.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. Anytime I don't know just what to do, I will cast all of my cares upon you.
As we sing this now one more time, I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes, just lock in with him. Let's pray with Brother Aaron, and let's just invite the presence of the Lord to touch the need that you have given to me and the one that you're holding in your heart. You people that are listening online, think as though you're right here in his presence tonight. God is not far from you. Sing it one more time now as we look to him.
All my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. Anytime I don't know just my cares upon you.
Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, Lord Jesus, casting our burdens upon you because you care for us, Lord. We know, Father, when the news flashed in heaven that your children, Lord, had fallen in the Garden of Eden, God, you are the one that came down. And you gave them, and you slew the lamb, and you provided the blood, and you covered their shame, Lord. Wherever, Father, men had gone astray throughout history, it's not man who was looking for you. It was not Adam who was looking for God, but it was you that came down to take care of Adam and his sins, Lord. And Father, not only did you take care of his sins, but you take care of his healing. You healed his body, Lord. You healed his spirit, Father, and you healed his soul, because you are a God, Lord God, who heals all of our diseases. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, because we know that you care for us. You came, Father, from the portals of glory, and you walked on this earth. And Father, you healed all manner of diseases. You healed, Lord God, opened the eyes of the blind. You cleansed the lepers that were sick. All they had to do was to cry out to you and say, have mercy upon us. And tonight, oh God, we cry out to you, Father, like those that were in the streets of Jerusalem, of Nazareth, in different places. Those, Lord, that were sick, oh God. Those that were in trouble, they would cry out to you to say, Lord, save our souls. They would cry out, Hosanna to the Lamb of God. And the prophet says, to say Hosanna is to say, save us, Lord. Father, we know, oh God, when we're in trouble, we can call 911. We can call upon the police. But Father, tonight we have another line that goes to glory. We have one that has ears that can hear our infirmities. We have one that cares for us, that died upon the cross, that rose on the third day, because he knew that as the seed of Abraham, we would get into trouble. The enemy would come with all manner of diseases. Father, they have all different names, but we have, Lord, learned from your word that if we would warm up to you, then you'll be able to come and heal our land, and heal our waters, heal our eyes, heal our brains, heal our backs, heal our legs. You are God that is able to heal all of our diseases. Father, we may be pressed by the enemy, Lord. We may be facing many adversities tonight. But Lord, we know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver out of them all. Father, you are able to deliver out of cancer. You are able to deliver out of sugar diabetes. You are able to deliver, Lord, out of vertigo. You are able to deliver out of every sickness that is in the book. Father, for you are the great doctor. You are the great healer. Father, we know, Jesus Christ, when we wanted water in the desert, and Father, our fathers had come to Marah, Lord, you spoke to the prophet, and you sweetened the waters. When we wanted bread, you rained bread from heaven. When they wanted meat, you sent quails, because there is nothing that is impossible with you. Father, we call upon your name tonight. We ask, Father, for your healing, Lord. We are asking, Father, for your compassion, Lord, because you are a sympathizing Jesus. Oh, you're the great physician, Lord. We have chiropractors, Lord. We have cardiologists, oh God. We have got many specialists that you have sent in our midst. And we are so thankful for those people, Lord. We are so thankful for medication. But we know, Lord, that you are the healer of all our diseases. Lord, we look unto you. Our help does not come from the mountains. Our help does not come from the left or the east. Our help comes from above. And tonight, we are lifting our hands and we are lifting our eyes to above. For we know that's where our help comes from. And tonight, Father, we know that before sickness was, you were there. Before blindness was, you were there. Before cancer was, you were there. You made all things. And for your sake was everything made. And tonight, there is nothing that is impossible with you, Lord. Father, forgive us of our sins. Wash us in the blood of the Lamb. We are calling upon a name that is higher than every name, above anything that can be named. And we are calling upon that precious name, because at that name of Jesus, we know every sickness has to bow. We thank you, Father, for Brother Keith Buchanan, and we present him to you, Father, tonight. Lord, in this battle, Lord, we know the enemy, Father, has been raging. But tonight, Father, we are asking, Lord, that, Father, there may be a complete healing of his body. Lord Jesus Christ, we remember Brother Smith, Sister Mary Smith, Lord, in their homes, Father, fighting, Lord, battling the enemy. Oh, God, we may be pinned down, but tonight we are sending that dove before the throne of Almighty God, and we're saying, Father, may you intervene for their behalf. Lord, we remember Sister Whitlock, Sister Carrie Whitlock tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, you know the night, the tears, Father. How many days, Father, that she would sit down, oh God, with blindness, not knowing where to go. But you said in your word that you are the light of the world. And if we walk in you, we shall not walk in darkness. Father, we are committing into your hands, Lord. Let there be light, oh God, in your life. May there be healing, oh God. May there be complete deliverance, even tonight, right now. Lord, we want to pray for Brother Samuel Pugh. Oh, Jesus.
You started the work 5 years ago, Lord. The doctors, oh God, they are looking through the lens, Father, of their machines. Oh God, considering the options. But Lord, we are looking at the promise in the Bible that there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. And you are the Lord that is able to heal, Father, whether by many or by few, whether by medicine or, Father, by otherwise. We know that you are able tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, there are many prayer requests that have been read. There is a couple, Father, in Michigan, in our assembly, in different parts of the world. Oh God, we were reading, Lord, that you need your visitation. May you restore, Father, marriages that are breaking apart. May you bring peace, oh Father, where they're in distress. Father, I want to remember Brother Shem Chikoro, who is here tonight, who has come, Father, before the King of Kings, like Esther of old, knowing, Lord, there is no other place, there is no other court, there is no other appeal we can bring outside of the King of Kings, the great Melchizedek. Lord Jesus, may you restore his healing, Father, tonight. You are God that is able to open, Lord, ears that are blocked. Father, we don't know what it is and we don't care what it is. All we know, Father, is that Jesus is the healer. Father, we are asking, Father, that you may intervene for Brother Shema. We are committing him into your hands. Oh God, we have a sister who has a blood clot. Oh Father, and she is relying on blood thinners. But we know tonight there is the blood of Jesus Christ that is able to heal all men of blood cloth tonight. Oh Father, we want to pray for Sister Amber McCall, who is not here tonight. Lord Jesus, you know what she's going through, Father. All the barrels falling down. And many times, Father, your angels were there to help you out. And we are asking, Father, that you may visit her. Oh God, may the Spirit of the Lord be upon her life right now and touch her, oh God. And we curse, Father, all the diseases, Father, that would come in her life. Oh Jesus, we want to remember Sister Karen Buchanan. Oh Father, we know, Lord Jesus Christ, that you know your children by name, and you know each and every one of them. And Father, we are calling her name, Father. Oh Jesus, we are praying, Father, tonight, Lord, as we are holding the horns of the altar. Oh King Jesus, may you pass us by, Lord, and may you just sweep, Father. May the sweetness of the Spirit visit you this hour and heal your body. Father, we remember, Lord, Sister Shirley Buchanan. Oh God, we have suffered for many years, oh God, with bronchitis, Father, and all kinds of all many different of sickness. Lord, we are presenting here before you. You are the God of the fatherless. You are the God of the widows. You are the God of the blind. You are the God of the weak. Father, when we are weaker, then you are stronger. Thou art our rock. Thou art our fortress. And tonight, Father, may you be a fortress for Sister Buchanan. For Lord, you are our husband. You are Father, our provider. You are our sustainer. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. We thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the many different needs that we may not be able to name, but you know each and every one of them. And we are asking, Jesus, may you have your way, oh Father. Help us, Lord God. We bring our faith together. We bind our hearts together. And we call upon your name because we know that you are a God that is able to heal. You are not an idol, Lord, but you are a nearer God who is able to be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Before we came in this church, you knew our desire. You knew our request. Some, Father, have anxiety. Some, Father, have got Lord Jesus Christ, depressions. Some have nervousness. Lord, no matter what they are, you are still the same God that provided a ram for Abraham. When he was out there in the wilderness, when it was impossible, you came and you gave them a child. Lord, we want to pray for Sister Rachel Coffey, who is having therapy, Lord. But Lord, we know that you are God that is able to hear, to heal your problems. Father, before that this sickness came, Lord, you were there and you knew about it. We are presenting here before your throne, Lord. Oh God, you healed Sister Mita when she had a cyst that was the size of a grapefruit. And tonight, Lord, may you touch Sister Rachel. May you restore her bones. Restore, Father, every ligament in her body. We are asking, oh God, may she be restored, oh Father. May there be a complete turnaround in her life. Oh Father, her tears, her prayers and requests, may you remember her tonight. Father, we are praying, Lord Jesus Christ, for the family in Indiana who are not able to come and be with in our midst because of a problem. Father, we know, Jesus, that you came to the pool of Bethesda and you healed a man who had an infirmity for 38 years. Lord, time does not mean anything before you. For you're a supernatural, eternal God. And tonight we thank you, Father, for healing our bodies. Lord, we are giving you thanks because we know that it is already done. For you said, if we pray, believing, we shall receive whatsoever we believe and we ask for. Lord, you provided for vaccines. You provided for medication. May you provide to your children tonight. Lord, you say that divine healing is the children's bread. And your children tonight, they are hungry. Lord, they are crying up, Father, to you. As Moses of old said, Lord, these are your people. Father, I stand with Brother Barry as your servants, Lord, knowing, oh God, that we did not die for these people. These are your people, Lord. Our job, Lord, is to ask and point to your promises. But you are the only one that is able to intervene for their behalf. We present them to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for answering each and every one of these prayers, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for touching their bodies. We thank you, Father, for restoring the backsliders, those that had prayer requests that were not read tonight. Lord, you have provided. Some are looking for children. We thank you, Father, for providing for them. Some, Father, are asking for that direction. Some, Father, they need renewal in their hearts. Father, some are losing strength. Some are losing confidence. Some, Father, doubt is building in their hearts. Father, we are praying, Lord, may there be revival in their souls. May the Spirit of God sweep through this church. We thank you, Father, for giving us the grace to do missions work and to minister to your bride throughout. And we, Father, we know that the enemy is not happy. But, Father, we know that, Lord Jesus, you are able to fight these battles because the battle is not ours, but the battle is of the Lord. We thank you tonight as we present these petitions to you. We are already accepting victory because you are a God that cannot be defeated. We bless you. We pray for our pastor, the burden that he has, the vision that he has for this church, and Father, the battles that he has to fight every night. Lord, the devil attacks him, attacks the family, attacks in many different ways. But we are praying, Father, that you may give him strength, oh God. Give him, Father, more strength, more revelation, and more power to continue in this race. We commit him into your hands, and we pray for his wife, we pray for his family. Bless them and be with them, oh God. We commit them into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Brother Aaron, we'll pray for Brother Samuel here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's have a couple of brothers come around. We just lay hands on Brother Samuel tonight. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence tonight, Lord. We lay our hands upon Brother Samuel, specifically, Lord, and trusting that you're going to touch him. And Lord, you're going to undertake for him, Lord, and we commit him to you with confidence and without any hesitation at all. Lord, we know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're a God who cares about all that we have to go through, Lord. And our brother's heart is to labor and to work and to provide for his family, Lord. And Father, he's gone through many things and you've seen him through, Lord, and even especially with his daughter. But Lord God, we know you to be a healer tonight, and every day your mercies are new. And so we're depending on your help tonight, Lord. Touch Brother Samuel, I pray. Bring healing to his body. And Lord, our desire would be that he would not have to go through any kind of surgery, Lord, but we're going to entrust him into your hands, Lord. We're just going to believe with all of our hearts that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you stood here in a suit, Lord, you couldn't do anything more for our brother Samuel than what we are doing here tonight. And that is anointing him with oil and praying the prayer of faith, Lord, believing that you're going to move in on the scene and just to help him, Lord. And we're entrusting him into your hands now, entrusting him into your care. Father, we give this need to you now with confidence again in the holy and precious name of Jesus our Lord. May he be forgiven of every sin, everything, Lord, that would hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit. And may the healing virtue of Almighty God, may it flow to him, Lord, and touch him right where he stands tonight. We commit him to you in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God still moves. Let's sing that tonight.
God still moves. God still moves in the hearts of his people. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves. My God still God still moves. God still moves in the hearts of his people. God still moves. He does not sleep. Does he slumber? God still moves. My God still moves.
Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, Lord, I just want to say we thank you for your presence among us. Lord, may we just have just a pure heart and desiring to follow you and to know you more. Lord, may you come now in the volume of the book, Lord. Be our healer, be our savior, be our deliverer tonight. And be the comforter for those that mourn. And lift up the hands that hang down. Minister, Lord, to the needs of your people, we pray. And I give them to you, Lord. I cast all of our cares before you tonight. And Lord, for those that we didn't all mention tonight, and Lord, you know all about them, we pray for Brother Keith and Brother John. I ask, oh God, that you'd be gracious to them. And Lord Jesus, may you just come on the scene, Lord, and just do that which only you can. That's the supernatural part. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for our time together tonight. We'll give you all the praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it as you go tonight. God bless you.
God still moves. Yes, God still moves. In the hearts of his people, God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves. My God still moves. God still moves.
of his people, God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves. God still moves. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. What concerns me today, he is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. You are
You are the Lord that healeth.